Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
Hits the streets today. We are live at the Pine downtown, 109th and Jasper. Drop by and say hello to us. We're here until 2 o'clock today talking Edmonton Oilers, past, present, and future, plus the NHL's biggest stories every week. And you can email us, by the way, at nationradio@theteam1260.com. Very busy show today. Our guests will include David Staples from the Edmonton Journal. We'll be talking to him about advanced stats. He has something called The Error. We'll talk a little bit about. We've got an arena update from David as well, and talk a little bit about the Edmonton Oilers moving forward. Jonathan Willis from OilersNation.com. He had three very interesting articles on the Oilers this year, including Colton, or this week, including Colton Tubert, and a couple on the draft. And we'll drop by with Jonathan as well. In the second hour, Jeff Crischel from Crush Health Show. It comes on at 5 o'clock today and also on Thursday night on Team 1260 Radio. Here's a guy who can talk to us a little bit about the Sam Gagner injury. He can tell us about the Taylor Hall situation, and as well, We'll talk a long time about concussions, because that seems to be the item on the NHL slate this week, with the meetings coming, I think, Monday they start, and there's 3 days worth of meetings with the head honchos in the National Hockey League. So that's something we'll get into. Kurt Kludicki will join us from Bruins Draft Watch. He was on earlier this morning with the Pipeline guys, and we'll talk to him as well about the Sedano Chara situation, about the 2011 draft. He has a fabulous blog that he updates every day. And later on in the show, we'll talk to Oklahoma City's Barron's play-by-play announcer Jim Beyer. Their life and death for the playoffs. A big win last night. One of the major stars in that game was Timo Hartikainen. So we'll talk to him about the playoff opportunity, and then maybe a little more about what's coming down the pipe for the Edmonton Oilers, and Timo Hartikainen will be a big part of that story as well. Our first guest was slated to be E.J. McGuire today. E.J. is the central scouting bigwig, but he had double booked. So we're going to invite E.J. to join us next Saturday. And I want to thank everybody who emailed us questions. We probably had 35 or 40 questions for EJ, so we're going to have to extend the show anyway, or extend a segment to two segments with him. That didn't happen today. We'll do it next Saturday. And with that happening, the opportunity arose for us to sit down and talk to Guy Flaming, who just ended his show. And I'm wondering, do we have Guy on the line yet?
I'm here, Al.
Oh, good. I appreciate you. You get so little airtime on Team 1260. I really appreciate you spending a few moments with us here.
Hey, no problem, Al. My pleasure.
Want to begin with, you covered the Edmonton Oilers and the minor leagues and the draft early on in your time with Coming Down the Pipe, and a lot of that was Oiler talk. And Devin Dubnyk was drafted in 04. I know you followed him very closely with his WHL career, mm-hmm. and then when he turned pro. And I wanted to talk about his play last night, and then maybe get into a little bit about how he's been handled compared to Jeff Drouin Delorier and how he was handled when he turned pro by the Edmonton Oilers. First, let's talk about Dubnyk and his development.
Well, I think certainly he's got more opportunity, or he's had more opportunity than Jeff Delorier did when Delorier turned pro. I mean, how many different jerseys has Jeff Delorier worn over the last 4 or 5 years in his pro career when you go back? And he played for the Edmonton Roadrunners, and he was in with the Columbus Cottonmouths and the Greenville Growl and all of those teams. And Devin Dubnyk's basically had Stockton and the AHL affiliate, whether it was Springfield or Oklahoma City, and now with the Oilers. So I think it's been a much more normal path for Devin Dubnyk, and I think that bodes well for development, certainly compared to what Jeff Delorier has had to go through, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. Delorier is a UFA this summer. Dubnyk is signed for another year at a really good price. Mm-hmm. Do you see the Oilers parting ways with Delorier?
I wouldn't be surprised if, because they can't get rid of Nikolai Habibulin, I wouldn't think, so they're going to need that goalie spot. And whether they bring back Martin Gerber or not, I think a lot of people would like to see them do that, whether Martin Gerber wants to come back with just an AHL contract or not. If he can get a better priced one-way deal out of the Oilers, maybe that'll work out for him. But I don't see Brian Pitton coming being re-signed. So the Oilers, I guess Olivier Waugh could turn pro. And maybe he does, and that takes up one of their farm team spots. But I still think that Jeff Drouin Delorier, he's been very professional about it ever since he's been around in Edmonton, and we've been able to talk to him face to face. He's always been really, really professional about the way he's been handled, and I think internally he has to have been really frustrated over the last 4 or 5 years, and I think it would be beneficial for him to get a new start, change of scenery. You know, some of those guys, just that's all they need to get their career kick-started again. I think he's probably one of those guys.
So my next question, is he a guy like Tim Thomas, who the Oilers had, I think, in Hamilton in the late 90s,
yeah,
who maybe has to go to Europe and sort of have everybody forget about him and then impress at another level?
Yeah, whether it's Europe or just another NHL franchise, I think just a change of scenery and would do Jeff Delorey wonders to get his career back on track.
In your show today, and you touched on it, and if I missed some of it, I apologize. We might be going over some covered ground here. But in your show today, you guys talked about the number of kids who are able to turn pro this fall.
Mm-hmm.
The Curtis Hamilton, Ryan Martindale, a lot of the guys who were drafted just a year ago are eligible. Do you see any of the? I see Martindale as being a guy who probably doesn't have much more to learn at the OHL level, especially with those outstanding wingers of his. So he's a likely guy who's going to turn pro. Do you see any of them staying back for their what would be their 20-year-old season in junior?
I honestly don't. I think all of those guys will turn pro, and I think Cam Abney probably plays in Stockton, and maybe Martindale does too, but I think Pitlick makes that jump. Martin Marincin out of PG, I think, will certainly go down and play in Oklahoma City, and so I don't expect any of the guys that are eligible, I don't think they'll hold back any of them. Maybe Brandon Davidson, and I only say that because this is only his second year in the WHL after playing in the AJ, so I could see where you can make an argument to suggest that maybe another year in the WHL wouldn't necessarily slow his development at all. So of the guys that are eligible, I think he's probably the one that might be the most likely to stay another year playing junior.
The RFAs this summer who are playing in OKC right now are Stortini, O'Mara, Marquardt, Montgomery, who they just acquired, Brian Pitton, the goalie, and Jordan Benfield. Of that group, who do you see possibly the Oilers cutting ties with?
I would say Stortini is probably a guy they trade if they can. I don't know if you would just cut him loose.
No, he has value, I think.
Yeah, I would think so, too. So I could see them re-signing him and trying to trade him, and if they can't, then re-signing him. But Marquardt, I think you can certainly walk away from that one. I don't expect Brian Pitton to get re-signed or Jordan Benfield either. So I would think Ryan O'Mara has probably still got some value. And, hey, you and I both think that he's, a potential fourth liner at the NHL level. So, and Kevin Montgomery, I don't see any reason why you just acquired the guy, why you wouldn't sign him. So I certainly expect he gets a contract.
What does it mean for guys who have struggled or not played as much for the Barons, like Johan Motin or a guy who struggled like Chris Vandeveld? Is it possible they would buy them out or ship them away at less of a cost?
I would be surprised if they were to buy out guys like that. I mean, you use a draft pick on him. You just brought Motin over. I'm sure you want to give him some time to develop. And Chris Vandeveld, this is a guy that they were really high on in his draft year, and spent 4 full years in North Dakota. It's developing. This is his first pro year and might be playing down the depth chart, but so did Kyle Brodziak in his first year when the Roadrunners were here in Edmonton. So I don't see any reason why the Oilers would walk away from either one of those guys.
What about a guy like Rahala? Does he get kept back in Europe because of the depth they're going to have in pro hockey here?
I'd be surprised if Tony Raiola didn't come over. And I think Anton Lander's in that same boat. I think both of those guys come over. The difference, I think Lander has a legitimate shot at cracking the NHL roster. I think Tony Raiola might be a guy that he might even start in the ECHL. I think he's more of a long shot, but I wouldn't be surprised if he came over. Although, that said, if it looks like it's ECHL for him, he might just stay in Finland for another year, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing either. The Oilers still retain his rights. So I think they have some options there with Raiola. So but with Anton Lander, I think that's an interesting one to follow, especially if he comes over.
Is there a possibility that he signs before the end of this season and plays with the Barons, or is that out?
No, I suppose that's a possibility. I don't know how likely that is, and how long has he been done now for? I think it's 2 or 3 weeks, I think, since his Swedish Elite team has been done. So I'm not sure if they're negotiating that with him right now or not.
I know they signed Taylor Fadun, but has he played down there?
I do not have Oklahoma's roster in front of me, so I'm not sure if he is dressed or not. I know he was expected to join them earlier this week, so I imagine he's there. Whether he has played a game or not yet, I don't know. I know that defense is pretty thick as it is right now, especially after getting Montgomery and Tubert. They clogged up that the blue line back there for the Barons earlier this weekend at the trade deadline. So I'm not sure necessarily if Fedun has played yet or not. I could pull it up, but I'm sure.
That's okay. I think he might be a guy who ends up practicing with the team, but maybe not playing with them. Tell me a little bit about him. I know I read a really interesting article you had on Coming Down the Pipe, and he's maybe the smartest guy in a pretty smart organization of hockey players.
Who is that, Toriel?
Fedun.
Yeah, Taylor Fedun, well, certainly. I mean, this is a guy that's basically a rocket scientist coming out of Princeton. So, yeah, absolutely. The IQ level of the organization just went through the roof, I think. Millard is still here in the studio, and he just wrote me a note reminding me, hey, Anton Lanner could play in the World Championships for Sweden.
That's true, too. That's a good point.
Certainly makes a lot of sense.
Well, he's not just a pretty face, then.
Who, Millard? Yeah, no. Hair and teeth, as he says.
So Fedun, he's a puck-moving defenseman, right?
Yeah, kind of a two-way guy, and I think when in his draft year there was some questions about his foot speed, and he was still a fairly gangly kid. He had the size or the height, but not he hadn't filled out yet. Now he's 6'1 and 210, so I think there's no concerns about whether or not he can play physically, and I think that's part of the strong part of his game. More of a two-way guy, but I think a little bit more defensive at the pro level than he was as a collegian. I think he put up some points there, but the ECAC, traditionally a fairly weak conference compared to the other college conferences, so there might be a little bit of inflation point-wise there.
This is Nation Radio, live at the Pint on Edmonton Sports Radio, Team 1260, 109th and Jasper, in conversation with Guy Flaming from Coming Down the Pipe and the Pipeline Show. You are the guy I always listen to for the NCAA information, but in Louis Trust is a really good blog, and they had an item from Tom Stavali about the 2011 NCAA free agent watch, and one of them was the kid that Edmonton just signed, Fedun. On that list is a guy named Che Jenaway, and I know you know a lot about him as well. Yeah. Would he be on the Oilers' radar or no?
Tough to say. A defenseman out of North Dakota. He's been banged up. He missed most of last year, so he was able to come back and get another year to play college hockey again. But he's been banged up again this year, so I'm not sure. There are a lot of people who thought he could be a Hobie Baker contender at the start of the season, but injuries has really taken him out of that picture. Che Jenaway, he's a good player, and I'm sure there are teams that are going to be, you know, interested in maybe not just signing him directly, but inviting him to a camp if he's still a free agent and having a closer look at him in that regard. I don't know if the Oilers are one of those teams, though.
Is there anybody else out there that you know of that's a free agent and not draft eligible that Edmonton might look at based on their tendency to sign big brains and maybe going for a little more size than they have in the past?
Well, I know there are some players at Merrimack College that Jesse Todd was the guy they invited to their prospect camp a couple years ago. So he might still be on their radar, and there's a defenseman there named Carl Stollery. And, of course, Kyle Bigos plays there, and he's a prospect of theirs. But if you're looking for free agents, Stollery might be a guy. And there's a Frenchman who seems to be one of the most valued potential free agent signings out of the NCAA this offseason. His name is Stephane DeCoste. He played in the USHL, but he comes from Paris, France, and he's been lighting up the NCAA over the last couple seasons. So those would be some guys to watch for.
Paris, France, I think there's been like two guys in history from France, right? Like that's a...
Well, Cristobal Huet is for sure. I can't off the top of my head think of another one. Do you?
There's some guy from the 70s, and I can't remember his name, but I know he played for the Islanders, and he was a center, and he had a long last name. How many times have you seen Ryan Nugent-Hopkins?
Six or seven times there. He'll be here again in the next 10 days and gone down to Red Deer two or three times as well to watch there and saw a lot online and stuff. And I'm not necessarily a guy who believes you can get a full picture of a guy watching online, but it helps. And, of course, saw him at the World Junior Camp, things like that, and talked to a lot of people who follow him. That's probably the biggest thing. But he's definitely a player of interest for sure, as everyone knows, as the 2011 draft gets closer. But he's definitely a talented player.
I think he's the most dynamic of the top-end guys, the four people that we talk about, Larson, Couturier, and Nugent-Hopkins, and Landeskog. He appears to have that terrific skill set that makes you jump out of your seat.
Well, it certainly does. And, you know, this is something Dean and I were talking about on the Pipeline Show last week. There's a lot of people who say, well, he's too small. Why would you draft another small guy? The Oilers have too many small forwards. And, you know, and that's the way I've felt for most of the season. And now I've just come to the conclusion, if he's the best player available, draft him and trade your other small forwards if you're the Oilers. You know, if he's going to be the best small forward on your team, he's better than Sam Gagner, he's better than Cogliano. Or Liam Reddix obviously is, you know, pales in comparison. So if you draft Ryan Nugent-Hopkins because he's the best player available, do it. and trade the other guys that you have on your team that make you too small.
Well, and he's not small either. It's just that he's thin, right? He's rail thin. He's like 6'1 and 170 or something. So he could grow into that body. I don't see Gagne and Nugent Hopkins being able to play on the same team unless they would move Gagne to wing. Is that a possibility?
I don't know if Gagne's fast enough to play the wing, for me, at least. I don't know if... You know, if you're looking at Sam Gagne to be any more than a second-line center, and I don't think he's a second-line center on a contending team, so I think Sam Gagne is a pretty good trading asset. I think that the most value he has to the Oilers organization maybe moving forward is what he can bring you back in a trade. So I agree with you, though. I don't think the Oilers could be a team that has Nugent Hopkins and Gagne and Cogliano and all the other small guys. And we mentioned he's not necessarily small, Ryan Nugent Hopkins, small vertically, but very slight. He's a lot like Kyle Turris was in his draft year and Mason Raymond. I don't think he's quite as tall as those guys, though. You said he's 6'1". I don't think he's a whole lot more than 6".
Okay.
We're splitting hairs, though, because that's like an inch.
And also, we're in a town where Gretzky played, so, you know, I mean, it can be done, right?
Sure.
Couturier is a guy that I like because he's that big center we haven't had since the 60s. Not really, but it's been a long time. He's a big guy, but he seems to be moving down the charts. Every time I look at a rating for the draft, he's 5 or 6 now as opposed to 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Is it speed or is it lack of toughness? What's the reason Couturier is going backwards?
Well, I think part of it is the performance of some of the other guys. But, yeah, he's, you know, we had Sam Cosentino on the show on Tuesday, who joins us every week on the Pipeline Show, and he mentioned that, you know, in the last viewing, the last game that they had on Sportsnet, he was really complaining a lot to the refs, and I think that turned some guys off. And I'm not sure if that's something that would contribute to a big drop in the rankings, but you're right. This is a big forward. You know, maybe the last big center that the Oilers had is probably Jason Arnott. And, you know, I don't know if he has better potential or less offensive potential than Arnott, but, I mean, that's, if they're even close, that's a pretty good pickup right there. And I think Couturier, you know, he didn't perform. He wasn't lights out at the World Junior, but you got to keep in mind he was 17. And, you know, in the queue, he keeps racking up points there. He was the leading scorer in the league last year and probably would have been this year if not for missing a lot of time with the World Junior. So I think Sean Couturier would be a wise pickup for anybody, whether he's the Oilers guy or not. I mean, they could go with Adam Larson. They could go with Gabriel Landeskog as well. And I think there's another guy that might be in the mix as well. But
who's that, Ryan Strome?
Yeah, Ryan Strome is a name that I'm hearing more and more about as the draft gets closer. I don't know that they would have him ahead of those other four guys, but, you know, if they happen to be picking second or third and their number one guy is gone, Ryan Strome, I think, might be a guy that's in the mix.
Okay, a couple of quick ones because we're running out of time. If you're the Oilers and you draft, let's just say you draft Couturier with the first overall pick, and then you're at about 9 and your pick is 20, and you want to move up because somebody like Dougie Hamilton is still available, do you think the Oilers might do something major like trade a Hemsky or a Gagne plus the 20 to move up? Is that the kind of player they might get at 9 this year?
Well, I think Dougie Hamilton will be gone before 9, but there are other defensemen in the draft that I think might be worth trading up for, Duncan Siemens, and I know Josh Morrow is a guy that a lot of people like, Joe Morrow, excuse me, out of Portland. And although personally, I think the Oilers would have their eye on a guy like David Musil, who I think you can still get where the LA Kings pick is going to be. I don't think you would have to trade up to get him, but I know David Musil is a guy that the Oilers have their eye on, too.
So you think that they would, even after having acquired Tubert, they'd go get a stay-at-home type in the first round?
It's quite possible. I mean, there's no guarantee Colton Tubert is going to play in the NHL, so I think you're just picking up more future assets. And until Kevin Lowe's always been a guy who said, until they're playing for you in the NHL, that's all they are is assets.
Okay. One final question, and this is way off topic, but I keep meaning to ask you this. I've had conversations with some folks about the United States Hockey League, and a few years ago it was considered to be well below the CHL, each of the three CHL leagues.
Yeah.
It is improving, but it's not at that level yet, right? When we see a kid out of the USHL and he's got, you know, mind-boggling numbers, it's still not at the level of an ECHL league.
I would agree with that. I would say it's better than Junior A in Canada, but not as good as Major Junior. I think if you were, you know, the World Junior A Challenge goes every year, and that's you'll see an all-star team come out of the USHL, and they'll play an all-star team from Western Canada, Junior A, and the East. And the Americans have won the last, I believe it's 3 years in a row. So I think they're better than the junior A system in Canada right now, or at least the level of players, but not up to par with the world with the major juniors. They have added the U.S. National Development Program in that league. So, I mean, that's going to inflate their draft numbers coming out of that league. But you go back to 2000, the Jeff Petrie year. I want to say it was 2006.
Yep.
And Des Moines had, you know, Trevor Lewis and Kyle Oposo and Jeff Petrie, all three of those guys playing for Des Moines in the USHL, all taken in the top 45. So, I mean, that was a banner year. I think the USHL is definitely a league on the rise, and they keep expanding, so it's getting higher profile too.
Guy, I owe you lunch now, but you'll never collect.
That's true.
Okay, thanks, buddy.
All right, see ya.
All right, Guy Flaming from coming down the pipe, and of course, the Pipeline Show on Team 1260. You hear him every, well, a couple times a week on Team 1260 Radio. This is Nation Radio. We're live at the Pint today, 109th and Jasper. Drop by and say hello to us, and you can also email us at nationradio@team1260.com. Coming up after the break, David Staples from the Edmonton Journal.